They say Lewis Carroll is fiction. Alice never fell down a rabbit hole. And the White Queen's caustic judgments are not really a threat to your security.
I'm late. For a very important date. No time to say hello. Goodbye. I'm late.
Now, Jesus, enter the temple in Jerusalem. He found moneylenders buying and selling where they should have been afraid. He called their church a den of thieves. And he turned over their tables. He cast out the robbers!
Let's make some fajitas today.
Did Rand Paul cast out the money changers? Hello, dear friends. It is I, Kid Bry, your illustrious host, back once again for your Fajita Funtime radio show after 1 week off. On this seventh day of March, can you believe it? Here we are. It is basically springtime. In the year of 2013, the year of our great Lord, let us praise Him, let us celebrate Him, do all things in His great name. As we go out in search of liberty, truth, and peace, always remember you're doing it not just for yourself, but for your fellow man, which is what we are all called to do, regardless of which one of the religions or no religion. Good morality just calls to help your brother and your sister out. Let me spark this up tonight as we get going with the big show. No fajitas tonight on the dinner plate. Instead, I had a couple of microwavable stuffed green peppers. And these things are as good as the homemade ones. I guarantee you that. A little bit of heartburn, but that just says that the meal was fine. Last night, the meal was not fine. Yours truly decided to go ahead and try out a recipe for his all-time favorite food, fried chicken. Whenever I am asked, what is your favorite meal, Brian, I always say, well, fried chicken, thank you very much. So after having a delightful fried chicken dinner last weekend at a local restaurant, took me back to my childhood days when Grandma would spend all day slaving in the kitchen to get a wonderful fried chicken dinner ready for us for the noon hour. I decided that I would go ahead and take it upon myself to make my own fried chicken dinner. It didn't work out so well. First of all, the chicken turned out burnt, but that was okay. The skin was burnt in places, and I just kind of peeled some of that off, no big deal. The insides of the chicken legs that I had prepared was still quite delightful, quite juicy, quite moist. What I did not realize, however, was just how much smoke had filled up my apartment while I had been cooking. Get the fire out! After I had finished cooking, I sat down no more than a foot from where my stove is to eat my burnt chicken dinner, which still tasted pretty darn good. And as I was eating, I began to cough and choke with this awful smoker's hack, which I do have from time to time, but nothing like this. I just started feeling really, really weird and awful. I then thought I was going to vomit. I made my way into my bathroom. I looked at myself in the mirror and I was blue. Smurf blue. And I thought, dear God, something is not right. I walk back, or stumble back, I should say, nearly fainting, into my living room, which also houses my kitchen. And I look, and before me is all of this smoke that I did not even realize had recycled back into the apartment from the ventilation system. I am asphyxiating. I am undergoing smoke inhalation effects like crazy. I get to my door, I get my head out, I get to breathing, I'm gasping, I'm wheezing, I can barely talk, I was able to get a fan on, get the smoke out of this place, and then finally, after about an hour, I returned almost to normal. It wasn't so much a firehouse, it was a smokehouse, that's for sure. So your Fajita Funtime radio show was almost canceled due to death, specifically smoke inhalation asphyxiation. Well, now that that terrible tale has been told, I wish to tell you about our very special guest tonight on the Fajita Funtime Radio Show on this 7th day of March. We are going to be welcoming in, and you may remember the last couple of weeks we've been featuring Will Coley, the National Director for Muslims for Liberty, which has undertaken the whole Clear Skies Anti-Drone Initiative, even before Rand Paul began his near 13-hour filibuster yesterday. The Muslims for Liberty had already come out, gained a lot of traction, gained a lot of support from across the board politically for their Clear Sky initiative prior to Rand taking to the Senate floor.
I will speak until I can no longer speak. I will speak as long as it takes until the alarm is sounded from coast to coast that our Constitution is important.
Well, even prior to Rand Paul, yesterday, in that historic 13-hour filibuster, Muslims for Liberty coming together to say no more drones. The difference, however, is the fact that Muslims for Liberty are saying no drones across the board. That means in America or even overseas. We'll come back to that. Davi Barker, also from Muslims for Liberty, one of the key players, is going to be joining us tonight. Davi has a new book out. The new book sounds wonderful. It's all about his experience as a Muslim. It's all about the experience of being a Muslim. It should be a fantastic read. Davi's going to be talking about that. Also talking about a lot of the other endeavors that he is involved in. And these are many, many endeavors. Alternative currency, he's involved in that. He's a designer. He's a graphic artist. Going to be a great interview. Davi Barker going to be joining us momentarily on your Fajita Funtime Radio Show. But yes, yesterday, Stand By Rand, historic moment, 13 hours, darn near 12 hours and 52 minutes on the Senate floor. It was, well, effectively going against the nomination of Brennan for CIA director. But Rand Paul used the opportunity to talk constitutionality and to question the motivation of the President of these United States in the potential use of a drone strike on American soil.
I will speak until I can no longer speak. I will speak as long as it takes until the alarm is sounded from coast to coast that our Constitution is important, that your rights to trial by jury are precious, that no American should be killed by a drone on American soil without first being charged with a crime, without first being found to be guilty by a court.
Sounds pretty gosh darn left-wing there, doesn't he? You know, coming out anti-war, anti-drone strike. What was interesting was 13 other senators joined him for brief moments on the Senate floor in support of Rand Paul's filibuster yesterday. However, only one of those was a Democrat. The rest of the Democrats, according to Reason Magazine, now saying, well, they couldn't come out and support him because they had other things to do. What I thought was wonderful, what really made me very, very happy, was that my very own senator from Kansas, Jerry Moran, came out and spoke in support of Rand Paul's filibuster.
A drone strike from above results in the death of a U.S. citizen without due process. Is that any different than the ability to kill somebody in any other manner that I think most Americans would recognize today as prohibited without due process of law by our Constitution?
It was a great moment to see people like my own senator, and I like him a lot. I like Jerry Moran. We don't always agree on everything, but I think his heart is in the right place. He certainly is focused on the Constitution most of the time. Anyway, it was great to see him joining Rand Paul in that filibuster against drones. Then today, an answer comes in from Attorney General Eric Holder saying, well, I guess you had another question. I didn't quite understand. You see, Eric Holder, last week, I think it was, had sent a letter to Rand Paul, which basically said, well, if necessary, yes, the president could use a drone strike on American soil. Now, the White House kind of backpedaling in this latest one-sentence letter from Eric Holder to Senator Rand Paul, stating that, no, the president will not be using a drone strike on American soil. Whatever that means. I don't believe it. I mean, whatever they say, whatever. They're going to assassinate and kill whoever they want to, whenever they want to. Through all of this, though, I think the big picture has been missed for the most part. It's not just about drone strikes on American soil. It's about doing the right thing. It's about doing the moral thing. And of course, one thing that God calls us to do is thou shalt not kill. And regardless if it's a constitutional issue or whatever, we as a United States of America are guilty and responsible for blood upon all of our hands for the use of drone strikes, including the double tap drone strikes overseas that leaves countless little brown children dead each and every day. I apologize to my friends overseas, to my brothers and sisters on behalf of the federal government of these United States that continue to slaughter your children, and nary a word on that. We can talk Constitution all day long. What does it really mean? Let's just get to the bottom of it all and go with the moral fabric and the moral fiber of thou shalt not kill. And we do it every day. Blood stains on the sand from the children that are killed from our American foreign policies. I was so glad to see Huffington Post today, and I like Huffington Post. Don't tell me it's just some left-wing rag. That's the type of wording that Republicans use so they can go ahead and continue their ventures overseas in the name of a God that is not the God of Christianity. Today, the Huffington Post, their headline, or their cover page, I should say, on their internet edition, showing the faces of the dead children that our foreign policy and the use of this terrible drone technology has caused. The death of these children is reprehensible. I understand war and a time for war. We haven't had a legitimate war in this country. Our wars are unconstitutional. Our wars are laughed at by those who wage them. Sending the good men and women of this country over to kill those who are brown. Now we don't even have to see the face of our enemies, let alone the face of these innocent young children that we are responsible for. Their deaths, their slaughter, the blood is upon all of our hands. And now, to make matters worse, dear friends, we here at the Fajita Funtime Radio Show have an exclusive. We had begun talking about it a couple of weeks ago, as I have been a great friend of the Easter Bunny for many, many years. I have known the Easter Bunny. He is a very good bunny, delivering those eggs to the little boys and girls each and every year and hiding them, which sometimes seems mean-spirited, but it's not. The children love to find those eggs hidden by the Easter Bunny. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I tried to call said Easter Bunny. I wanted to see what his plans and preparations were for this fast-approaching Easter holiday. And unfortunately, at that time, we learned that the Easter Bunny is on the run because the United States government has targeted him as a terrorist.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hopping, Easter's on its way.
Former resident of the Easter Bunny. I'm not here to take your call, nor will I be back. I've been harassed. I've been beaten. I've been searched. I have been molested. It's too painful to even talk about, but there may not be an Easter Bunny this season. It seems to me that the United States government continues to mistake my colored eggs for some sort of bomb. I try to travel, and I'm always getting stopped on the roadway. First, the policeman says, "Why is a bunny driving this car?" And when I try to explain to him that I'm the Easter Bunny, he rolls his eyes, pulls me out, begins to search my car with no warrant, destroys my eggs. This has been happening for the past 5 years or so, and it's been too painful to even talk about. but this year I can take no more. I, the Easter Bunny, will not be delivering eggs. I am in hiding from here on out. It pains me. Pains me deeply. Leave a message if you must. Happy Easter.
So after we learned that, after trying to place a call to my old friend the Easter Bunny, we hear he's being detained by police no matter where he travels. Our worst fears are now confirmed. I received a phone call on the voicemail the other night. It's far worse than just the Easter Bunny being tracked down and being profiled. It does go all the way to the top, according to him.
I'm so sorry it took me so long to get back to you. And I hope you haven't been worrying yourself too much. I know that you tried to contact me a couple of weeks ago. And I really, really am sorry for the delay. It is true. I am on the run. The Department of Homeland Security is out to get me. Everywhere I go, I look to the skies, thinking, this could be my last moment. Is there a drone? Is that just a commercial plane, or is that something that's going to fall from the sky and kill me, the Easter Bunny, who has never done anything wrong except to delight children by hiding their eggs each and every Easter? My little bunny fur stands on end each and every day because I live in fear. I never know when my moment is going to be the last. When will they catch up with me? Will I be killed? Will I be found and detained and tortured? Who knows in this day and age? It's a horrible time in which we live. I even admit to you, my dear friend, there was once a time when I supported President Barack Obama. I thought he was a good man. I thought he was a man who would love me. The pagan symbol of Easter. Not the Christian symbol of Easter, but the pagan symbol of Easter. And I thought he would embrace me. And oh yes, I know he has his little Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn each and every year, or the Easter egg roll, as they call it. But it's not the same. It's nothing but a facade and a charade. It has nothing to do with me, the Easter Bunny, now labeled a domestic terrorist by the governments of these United States. Frankly, I'm terrified. And I remain on the run. And again, there will be no Easter.
No Easter. As our government labels the Easter Bunny as a domestic terrorist. Absolute hell for all of us. If that is not a symbol that they can label anyone a terrorist, I don't know what is. We here at the Fajita Fun Time guarantee you that we are going to continue to follow this story until I finally have a chance to catch up with the Easter Bunny himself for a one-on-one sit-down interview. That is the goal. In the meantime, I understand why he's so elusive. Who knows? The Easter Bunny could be killed, targeted as a domestic terrorist at any God-given moment. We're going to be right back as we talk with Davi Barker from Muslims for Liberty and so much more. This guy has so many different qualities and so many different irons in the fire. We'll get to all of that as we talk with Davi, coming up next on your Fajita Funtime radio show.
Are you feeling sluggish, even depressed? Has your sex life gone from active to non-existent? Then let me make this guarantee. George's famous baklava won't help you a bit, but it sure does taste good. George Mandrick is an artist in the kitchen, utilizing the traditions of his heritage to create the finest baklava you've ever tasted. Perfect for the gift-giving season. Visit George at Mandrick.com. That's MANDRIK.com to see his full line of baklava, along with low-carb and gluten-free cookies. George's famous baklava won't help you be a better person, but it sure tastes good in your mouth.
Well, it is a glorious night tonight on your Fajita Fun Time. on this seventh day of March 2013 in the year of our Lord. And I promised you a very special guest tonight. He's truly a Renaissance man inside the Liberty Movement. He's a graphic artist and designer who spreads the word of liberty through his involvement with such organizations and endeavors as Muslims for Liberty, Don't Tread on Meme, the Silver Circle Movie, just to name a few. He's a journalist and an author who just recently released the book, Voluntary Islam and Other Essays. Let's proudly welcome to the Fajita Funtime Radio Show, Davi Barker. Davi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It is a real pleasure. We here at the Fajita Funtime Radio Show are truly great supporters of Muslims for Liberty. I've had Will Coley on several times now. We also signed up and are one of the sponsors on the Clear Skies Initiative. And those times that I talked to...
I saw that. That's great.
Yeah, it's one, and what a great initiative and what a great cause. I mean, that's truly something that I can throw my very being behind in support. And after talking to Will those couple of times about those initiatives, and he said, you've got to get Davi on the show, I said, let's do that. It was right around that time that you released your new book. So tonight, here you are, my friend, talking about Voluntary Islam and Other Essays. Let's kick right into it. How'd you come about writing the book, Davi?
Well, I started writing sort of professionally, or at least as a paid writer, in like 2009. And in the beginning, I was just writing about Islam. But as you know, like, Islam has become very politicized in the American culture, and so I was also a libertarian, and I just found that those overlap so much that I was pretty much writing about politics, but I was writing in a religious column. And so I asked my editor at Examiner.com to put me into a political category, and they moved me over to the National Libertarian Examiner. And it just sort of flowered from there. Next thing I know, I'm writing for Daily Anarchist, I'm writing for Silver Circle, and there's a sort of thread throughout all of my writing that I felt needed to be expressed. So I put them into an anthology and sort of put them in order so that they built on each other and created kind of an argument.
Something I'm curious about, Davi, were you born into the Islamic faith? Was this something you were raised, you know, from a young age into, or are you a late blooming convert?
No, I converted as an adult right after college. I didn't really have much of an organized religion growing up. There are both Christians and Jews and atheists and Baha'is. My family's kind of an interfaith thing. So,
what led you, from all the religions in the world, what led you to the path of Islam?
Well, I like that there's room in Islam to accept the validity of the prophets of other religions, mm-hmm. and that was really important to me. But primarily it was because the text is intact in its original language, so you don't have a Council of Nicaea who comes in and says this part of the text is in and this part of the text is out. You have the original document, and you have it in its original language, and you have people who still speak that language continuous from the time of Muhammad. So at the very least, I knew that I had an opportunity to return to an original text.
You know, it's interesting. Both of those points that you make were two selling points when I, many, many years ago, had really toyed with conversion into Islam. I had a lot of Muslim friends back in high school, and those two points, I think, are just very, very strong in talking about what a great faith Islam is. I myself now am a born-again Christian, but I look at Islam as a beautiful faith, as a beautiful religion, no condemnation whatsoever upon it. I think it is a blessed, holy path to walk upon this earth, Davi.
Well, thanks for saying so.
Now, when we pick up the book, Voluntary Islam and Other Essays, what are we going to find? I mean, did you lay out your path to Islam? Are they fictional stories? Are they historic fact, or a little bit of all of that?
There's not a lot in there about my own conversion. There is a little bit about my views on Islam. There's a chapter about Islam itself, which is mostly about answering misconceptions or just straight up lies that people say about Islam. And throughout the book, I sort of apply sort of both Islamic and libertarian principles to current events and sort of political and sort of like the world situation. So you'll find a chapter on fiat money. You'll find a chapter on the Arab Spring. You'll find a chapter on the Occupy movement. I'm really fascinated by Somalia, so I wrote a lot about Somalia. And I just sort of, I keep returning to the idea that if you look at these political occurrences, you can really diagnose them using these principles, and it lets you understand what's going on without it, you know, the world becomes much less confusing when you have a good set of principles.
What is it like being a Muslim inside the Liberty Movement? Do you find much friction? Do you find divisiveness? And I say that because upon talking to Will Coley in the past, you know, he's talked about really finding this hatred, not just towards Islam, but all religions inside the Liberty Movement that seems to be growing, in his opinion.
Are you familiar with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
I am, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so something that he talks about is mimics in the Liberty Movement. And he talks about it in the sense of sort of in nature, there are plants and animals that disguise themselves as non-aggressive animals so that they can prey on them. And in my experience, the reaction that people have toward Muslims is sort of a way of telling the mimics from the, like, real libertarians. Like, because you have some people who are coming in and they're like, they're conservatives or they're neocons and they're pretending to be libertarians. And so they're going to come in, like, with a lot of, like, anti-Muslim stuff, anti-Obama stuff, and you can smell it out on them, you know? But then there are other people who, because fundamentally, I think, libertarianism at its core is about individualism and about rejecting collectivism. So you find people who, purely based on the libertarian principles, reject the collectivism of creating stereotypes about Muslims. And those people, even if they've never met a Muslim, they already reject the hysteria, they already reject the propaganda because they recognize it as collectivism.
That is a very good point. I think that lays it out perfectly. You know, as I said, going to high school, and I don't know, I tend to see myself as someone who was born with a libertarian mindset against collectivism.
I think everyone is.
You know, I think you're correct. I think some of us just recognize it at a younger age, and we tend to walk with it, and we're not afraid of walking outside those societal norms. I do say I think I was also very blessed to have gone to a high school in a small community, a small rural community, that had such a high Muslim population of students, because that was there where I grasped, you know what? We're not that different. We really all think the same. We really all believe the same when all is said and done, and we're all really brothers and sisters under God.
Yeah, you know, I had a similar experience growing up in that we traveled a lot because my dad was working for a software company that sent him overseas from time to time. And so we had lived in a couple of Muslim countries, but we'd also lived in Buddhist countries and Hindu countries. And so I came home when we sort of settled back in the United States with a real, like, internationalist kind of view of the world, and really, like, I don't really see a lot of difference between foreigners and Americans. They really are all just human beings.
You know, Dobby, I want to ask you too, how did you get into the shiny badges? I love these things. Your design work is wonderful. I was searching the internet thinking, you just can't find a whole lot of libertarian or voluntarist little markers like that to kind of indicate who you are and what you think in kind of a quiet sort of way. I came upon the shiny badges, and man, what a wonderful job you do with those.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. It's shinybadges.com. So it comes from a career in production art as a graphic designer. When I was in college, I owned one of those, like, one-inch button machines, and I used to try and sell buttons. And then for, like, 5 years, I worked in production art and screen printing. And so for a while, I tried to sort of put together some T-shirts and do some entrepreneurial work that way. But I'd say maybe 6 months ago, I left my job and I went full-time freelance working for myself. And I just, you know, I was tired of buttons and I was tired of T-shirts. And I felt like the market was really saturated with those things and there wasn't a lot of demand for it anymore. And so I needed a product that kind of, like, bumped up the quality a little bit, you know? Like, I feel like we have a lot of people in the Liberty Movement who are older, who are more sort of, like, you look at, like, Jeffrey Tucker, right? Like, he's not going to wear a one-inch, like, punk rock, like, button, right? He wants a lapel pin. He wants something distinguished. And so I just felt like there was a need for it, you know?
I have got to get one because I'm kind of the same way. When I'm going to work every day, I throw on the sport coat. And I need something small, and I need something distinct. I also wear a cowboy hat, and one of those bad boys would look great on the hat, too. So I'm going to have to get one of those one of these days. Hey, tell us about your work with Don't Tread on Meme and all of your work in the alternative currency scene. I find that so fascinating. I know Drew Phillips pretty well. Sure. What a great group you're working with there.
Yeah, I met Drew and Ross at Liberty Forum 2012. And it's such a neat product, the silver dimes. And I also met Ron that year. I do a lot of Ron from Shire Silver. I do some of their art, too.
Okay.
And I had been working with – we'd been talking at Muslims for Liberty about doing a dirham card, like a silver – or a silver coin. But it's so expensive to make the dies. And so when I saw these guys coming up with sort of a cheap and inefficient way – of packaging silver for currency, I knew I wanted to work with them, right? Because I was already passionate about honest money. And so they want to put memes on cards. I'd been doing memes online for about a year. And so I said, let's just put some of these things together. And I had a whole bunch of stuff ready for them to go to Libertopia, to go to Porkfest. And so I just started doing a lot of their designs, and it's been a great success. And then on top of that, I work with Silver Circle, which in addition to being, the comic book and the movie, it's also an alternative currency. Like, they make 1 ounce and 10th ounce rounds of silver. And so I do a lot of the marketing for them, too. But yeah, alternative currency is the future. I mean, everybody knows the dollar is going to collapse. And even if they're not paying attention, they're all looking for an alternative. So between silver and Bitcoin, I feel like... a lot of people in the Liberty Movement are pretty well set.
You know, I'm trying to get into monthly buying myself a nice chunk of silver as an investment. I'm not really into Bitcoin. Now, Taryn Lupo has tried to explain it to me time and time again. So has Drew. So has Ross. And I don't know. It just kind of goes over my head. But what was I reading here in recent days? It's up to like $40 or something like that?
Yeah, it was... it was 45 this morning when I looked. Wow. Right now, it's 36, so it went down a little bit today. But that's okay. I mean, and it's all right if you're not into Bitcoin, too. Like, that's the beautiful thing about alternative currencies is they're not mandatory.
Right.
So if you like silver and, you know, I like Bitcoin, and, you know, we can always find a medium of exchange.
Now, I've got an email here in front of me that just came in, and it's from, as I just mentioned his name, how weird is that? I tell you, I think the guy is spying on me, Taryn Lupo, and he knew I was going to be talking to you, and he says, can you ask Davi if he likes me or not?
Of course, I love Taryn.
Yeah, I'm not sure, and then he says, does your faith allow you to have a Taryn Lupo cool mustache?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know. What's special about Taryn's mustache? I'm not sure.
I just between you and me, I don't even know if Taryn has a mustache, but he gets really... He gets confused sometimes, Davi. He gets really confused over these things. Like, over himself. He'll write me in the middle of the night, and I'll suddenly get a Facebook message from Taryn, and he'll say something like, just looked at myself in the mirror. I'm glad that I'm such a muscle-bound He-Man. And I've learned I just have to kind of humor him because we all know that's not true. Or he'll say something like, I just got back from Japan, and I have a lot of geisha girls. And I'm like, you've confused your cultures again. So just from you, from me to you, oh, just humor, Taryn. It's a lot better that way, Davi.
Hey, you know, Taryn's a writer, and writers have license to be eccentric, so I think that's perfectly fine. I love working with Taryn. I've consulted on some of his books, and I've read a lot of his stuff. I go to him for advice when I'm writing, so I don't know what would give him the impression I didn't like him.
Taryn's just funny like that, man. He is one of my all-time favorite people, and I don't say that just favorite people in the Liberty Movement. I mean that in general. He is so funny. He's an all-around cool guy, man. I think that's great that you've worked with him on some of his fantastic works, too. Because, man, that guy can write, can he not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Davi Barker, tell us, the new book, Voluntary Islam and Other Essays, where can we find it? How do we get our hands on this fascinating read?
Well, the publisher is Daryl W. Perry at Free Press Publications. So that's fpp.cc, and you can buy the book there. But if you really like, if you want to help me out, the best thing you can do is buy it at Amazon, because that helps me in the ratings. It helps me sort of like score in the promotional algorithm that Amazon uses. And that means that it reaches a further general audience.
And for those of us who want to look all fancy in a nice, subtle sort of way, how do we get our hands on those shiny badges?
It's just shinybadges.com. It's pretty easy to remember. Shiny Badges is on Facebook.
Davi Barker, thanks so much for coming by and playing along with us tonight at the Fajita Funtime Radio Show.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
So there he goes, our very special guest, Davi Barker, tonight on your Fajita Funtime Radio Show on this 7th day of March in the year of 2013. We'll be right back to wrap things up. That's next. If you're in a band or own a business, you know how important a properly printed t-shirt with your name can be. But face it, screen printing is expensive and can take weeks to complete before your upcoming promotion. Well, Kansas City's family-owned and operated Outlaw Press will change all that. Able to work with textiles of any kind, Outlaw Press promises quick turnaround with competitive prices. They also have multicolor capability, which means new vibrancy for your logo. For all of your print press needs, think of Outlaw Press first. Call them at 816-588-2664. That's 816-588-2664. Or email them at outlaw.press2013@gmail.com. outlaw.press2013@gmail.com. Kansas City-based Outlaw Press. Family-owned and operated. Think of them first for all your screen printing needs. Year of Fajita Funtime Radio Show, 7th day March, 2013, Year of Our Lord. Thanks so much for dropping by again tonight. What a great time we had. My head is still spinning from the knowledge that we have learned about the potential use of drone strikes against the Easter Bunny, labeled a domestic terrorist by our own federal government. Hey, I want to say thanks to Davi Barker for dropping by. Great conversation there. What a good guy. Tell you what, we have a lot of great things in the works. Remember, had some changes here at the show. No big deal. Certainly no derailments or anything like that. You can always find us at kidbry.podomatic.com, kidbry.podomatic.com. And I will go ahead and unveil this. It won't be long now before we have another splendid unveiling. And that is going to be our brand new website. You know, I had mentioned Taryn Lupo earlier in the show when I had talked to Davi Barker. He's one of our biggest supporters here at the Fajita Fun Time. So many of you know Taryn Lupo. I love to give him a hard time, but he is a great and wonderful human being. And he really helps to make this show possible. So, Taryn Lupo, thank you for all you do. Thank you for all of your great works of literature. Thank you for your great humor. Thank you for the great support that you show to the cause of liberty. Always remember, you can visit Taryn Lupo anytime. Find out all about his great efforts at lupolit.com. That's lupolit.com. Taryn Lupo, truly a friend of all of us who are trying to make this world safe again for liberty in the name of our natural rights and the individuals that we are. We will be back next week, dear friends. I also want to say thank you. Remember, you can find us at lrn.fm. Ian Mark, everybody over there with Free Talk Live, involved with the entire network, lrn.fm, also helping to make this show possible. Drop us an email anytime about anything. Do you have a good guest idea, a good topic idea? Let us know about it. FajitaFunTime@gmail.com. FajitaFunTime@gmail.com. Well, we put the wraps on another great week. Dear friends, dear brothers, dear sisters, go out there and spread the name of liberty. Humor in the name of liberty. That's what it's all about here at our Fajita Funtime Radio Show. Until next week, we'll see ya.